right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. A few nights ago, Patty Vasquez and I got to interview director Robert Zemeckis a day after we had seen his new movie, Welcome to Marwen. And this is the interview, and Patty gets us all started.
You're listening to WGN Radio, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, in an incredible twist of events in my life. First, I became a host of WGN Radio, and never thought that would happen. And one day, a friend of mine, Michelle L'Amour, said, I have a friend who's an incredible author, and she's come out with a book, and would you have her on your show? And I said, absolutely. And I don't know what the universe had in store, but I became friends with Leslie Zemeckis, who is an incredible writer, historian, and actress. And along the way, had the opportunity to meet her husband, Robert. And when they asked me if I was interested in interviewing him, I was like, well, yeah, hold on a second. Let me also make sure that my fellow host, Nick DiGilio, is available. Because as many of you know, Nick is a big fan. Nick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi.
No, to say I'm a big fan of Robert Zemeckis is an understatement.
I know.
One of my favorite filmmakers that's ever lived and has made, in my opinion, not one, two, but several masterpieces, and just a huge fan.
And we are honored to have in studio with us Robert Zemeckis.
Thank you. Hi. Pleasure to be here.
Nick and I had the, it was wonderful to see Welcome to Marwen yesterday, and I get the chills thinking about it, and I know that Nick saw a lot in it that I wouldn't necessarily pick up on, because Nick was, we were on the way out, and he was like, and then there was this, and then there's another. So, Nick, I wanted to start there, because there's so much for me when it comes to the idea of the spirit and creating art and living through tragedy that speaks a lot to a lot of my experience and what I felt through the movie, but I also wanted to focus on that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of things in the movie that were totally Zemeckis, which makes sense because you made the movie. But there were also allusions to other movies, and there's obvious, I don't want to give anything away, but late in the film, there's a very obvious one. But real quick question, was the General Stilwell thing, was that a tribute to 1941?
Yeah, I mean, you know, how many people know who General Stilwell is?
But you know,
I'm kind of an obsessive fan. But one of the questions that I have for you is: no other filmmaker that I can think of has been on the cutting edge of technology as much as you have been. And I'm talking all the way back to like Back to the Future and a groundbreaking film like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And now, as this technology moves on, and by the way, the stuff that you do in this movie is flawless. Like going from the motion capture to the real stuff is just amazing. How do you feel about as the technology has moved on over the years, and you've been on the edge of it? What's going on now in terms of technology that you're looking forward to?
Well, you know, I'm not really like a technology geek. I just like to, you know, look around when I'm making a movie to see what the new tools are and figure out a way to utilize them. I think, you know, what is obviously happening, because, you know, the digital cinema is digital. And the horsepower of processing moving images is getting more and more powerful every hour. That we're probably around the, you know, it's, we can create any image, we can create any sound, and we're probably, it's right around the corner where we'll be able to create a photoreal human character that no one will be able to tell is an avatar, just like we can do in still photographs now.
Mm. And that's kind of explained or explored in the film. That's one of the themes in Marwen that you kind of explore.
You mean, we use a process. We got an advanced performance capture that we use to create these. You know, the stories about this guy in his imagination who creates this doll world, and these dolls are populated by he creates a action figure or a fashion doll based on people that he knows in real life. And we use our actors and actresses who play the live-action characters to also do the performances of the dolls. And it's pretty good. It's pretty spectacular.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I was blown away. I mean, I couldn't decide. I mean, you know, there were moments where I was like, this is, it's just so incredible to take in, right? That blending of going from live action of what's actually happening and being, for him to be able to escape into that and play things out differently is remarkable.
Yeah. And it's now what we should probably explain what the movie's about.
Sure.
And it's based
yes.
on a true story
yeah.
as well.
Right.
Yeah, you want me to explain?
Yeah, sure.
Well, it's based on a true story. I came across it when I was channel surfing and I stumbled upon the documentary Marwin Call. It was about this guy's life, and I was, you know, and it's a story about this guy who tragically is beaten in a hate crime, almost within almost to death, and he was an illustrator. And he lost all his memory of his past life and his ability to use his hands to draw. So he had no resources and he had no money. And so when he got out of the hospital to process this tragedy, he started to create this 1/6 scale miniature world populated by these action figures and started to take photographs of these tableaus that he set up. And that's how he worked through his PTSD. And when I saw the movie, what struck me was, you know, that it was this, you know, this amazing, hopeful story about the healing power of art. And I was able to identify with that. And I think it's a universal story. Everyone, I think, uses their artistic expression or their imagination to process what's going on in their life, complicated things that are going on in their life. But then also between these photos that he took were there were these elaborate stories. And I thought, now there's a movie. I thought, now if we can go into his mind's eye, into his imagination and see this world that he could only take still photographs of come to life, that's the stuff of movies.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt about that. And you know, to the idea of the healing power of art, what I thought about when I was walking back from the screening was, you know, there are people who choose to be artists because they want to be famous or they see someone else who's really good at something and they want to be able to do that. But Mark, who, you know, doesn't even remember much of what he did or why he did it, still is driven to do it. And that's just somebody who needs to.
Yeah, and he's a pure artist in that respect because he's not looking to be famous. He's not looking to make money. He's just doing it because he has to do it.
Right.
And that's still to this day, and that's really fantastic about him.
You know, it's an interesting that you point because you've explored this kind of theme before in other movies about like sort of the isolated person who has to express themselves in order to change and like in Contact mm-hmm. and in Castaway. And it seems to be a theme that you've explored before. And you just mentioned that you could identify with it. Is it something personal about this theme?
Oh, God. No, well, not on this. I mean, I, you know, thank God I never, you know, had to suffer, a tragedy like he did. But no, I mean, like, I understand the power of art to help simplify complex things that I'm feeling. And I think, and that's the simplest form. And that's why we listen to music. That's why we read poems, why we look at paintings, why we read novels and go to movies is because that's what it does for us. It helps to simplify these complicated emotions, if you will, that we're feeling. I think that's a universal theme, and I think that no matter what you do, whether you sing in the church choir or you bake cupcakes, you're that's an artistic expression, and you have and humans have to do that. And so I think the story can touch anyone who goes to see the film.
And that's Robert Zemeckis talking about his new movie, Welcome to Marwin. Patty Vasquez and I conducted that interview a few nights ago, and it was just great. We'll continue with more of it right after we take a break here for some weather. Today, cloudy and breezy with a high of 51. Tonight, more clouds, a low around 39. Tomorrow, periods of rain, a high near 47. For Friday, cloudy, high near 37. Saturday, partly cloudy and a high near 39. It's currently 33 degrees at O'Hare. It's 34 at Midway, 35 at the lakefront. We'll take a break and more with Robert Zemeckis after this. All right, let's get back to the conversation that Patty Vasquez and I had with the great Robert Zemeckis.
The other thing that struck me, I did go and seek out clips of Marwin Call and hope I'll have a chance to see it very soon, the whole documentary. But the way he's now been able, Mark, in real life and in the film, connect with the people he makes the dolls about or
mm-hmm.
for.
Right.
And because it seems as though before this beating, he wasn't necessarily that connected to the people in his community either.
No, he was completely isolated. As a matter of fact, he was very much addicted to alcohol, and he was struck sober after the beating, which is another amazing part of the whole story. But yeah, when you're in that disease, that disease isolates you completely from the world. So yeah, he was just in his own addiction. But what he does now is, you know, he honors the people who are important to him in his life.
Right.
And what he does is he honors you by creating a alter ego that he populates in this, you know, this, well, it's not, his town is actually does exist. He built it in his backyard. But the adventures are imaginary that he puts these people in. And the people who are in his life are the people who he creates these dolls who are are alter egos, and they populate his village and his imagination. And they're put on these wild adventures. You know, they're zapped back into 1944 Belgium, which is where his doll adventure takes place. Yeah. I know it's strange. You got to see the movie.
What yeah, it's a hard. It is a hard film to describe.
It
works on so many levels, though. I mean, it's an incredibly emotional film. Like I cried and I was invested in the character. And by the way, Steve Carell is.
Yeah.
Astonishing in the movie. It is such a great performance.
And I want everyone to know, too, that it's not a heavy...
No.
It's sad. But it's got comedy in it. It's got action, a lot of action.
It's also funny, too.
It's funny.
Talks about, you know, female empowerment and all kinds of, you know, he's got these really, you know, badass women who are his protectors and his guardians. And, you know, it's got a lot of fun stuff. But it is a heartfelt and heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But ultimately, I think it's an emotional, hopeful movie.
It is. It's right. Completely hopeful. And also just flat out entertaining. Like, if you want to go and have a great time at a movie, right. this is the movie to see. And just so astonishingly well made in terms of special effects, and the action sequences are so well put together. It's just a flat out really entertaining movie. And you'll be moved, too. But that's like, that's an extra.
Right.
So. But, you know, I wanted to mention that, you know, I was talking about the technology that you worked with that period of time when you were working on the animated stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What did you get out of that, from 2004 to like 2009?
Oh, you mean the performance capture
stuff?
Yeah,
the performance capture stuff. When you started with Polar Express and went through to Beowulf.
Well, you know, I went through a stage where I loved it because when I discovered that on Polar Express, it was this wonderful thing that happened for me, which is this technology arrived that enabled me to separate performance from what I call the tyranny of filmmaking. It gave me, as you know, as a movie director, which you know you could say is maybe someone who's you know, not completely, maybe somewhat of an egomaniac, but I mean, a film director, I was able to just do performance and concentrate on that without having to worry about lighting and hitting marks and, you know, setting up the camera and get the performance exactly right and allowing the actor to perform in continuity from beginning to end. And then I was able to then do the cinema at my leisure because I would put the cameras in virtually and create, you know, and the performances never changed. So I never had to torture my actors by making them bend into a pretzel so I could get my really cool shot and torture them doing take after take because they can't hit the focus or there was an extra in the background who looked in the lens.
Right.
All those horrible things and there's nothing worse when you're there as a director and, you know, the actor is doing the scene and he does a turn on a line and he does a line reading that you don't know where it came from, but it's just so magnificent and you're there and you're just exhilarated and you say, cut, and the camera operator says, I need another one.
Oh.
And because why? Well, the focus buzzed.
Oh.
And you know, there's no way that the actor, because it just came, it was magic. And you know, so anyway, I was, after making all these movies, I was thrilled to be liberated from that.
And what did you bring from working with that? Because the movie that you did after you did that series of the motion capture stuff was really, I mean, you really jumped back into the deep end with Flight. I mean,
yeah.
And what was that, coming off of those films, what was it like to do Flight? Because it's such a, you know, such a, it's a great film too. And Denzel gives such an astonishing performance in that.
Yeah, well, you know, it for me, it was all just fine. I just rolled back into it. I mean, it was like, you know, I was always doing the same thing, even though I was working in this different discipline for a while. But when I got back into Flight, it was great to be back there. I mean, you know, there were times when, you know, there were times when there was an imperfection in the way we did a shot or something, and I just had to let it go, you know, and it's fine, you know, it's just, so I don't have, you know, an agenda either way. But reflecting back on it, everything that I did in my career, everything I did in my career, if you want, probably going back to, say, Roger Rabbit to start, from a technological point of view, prepared me to do Marwen.
Mm.
Welcome to Marwen, because I used all my tricks in this movie.
That's exactly what it seems like.
Yeah, everything from, I mean, the humor and the heart of it, you know, I mean, and it's amazing. Like, you can be invested in a movie, but I don't know if Nick could hear me, because I was so distraught about the Jeep with all the women in it as a car turned around.
Mm.
Right. And I wasn't sure I was going to be able to handle it if something. I was,
oh,
like,
you thought I was going to get run over?
Yeah.
I didn't want to ruin it for anybody, but I was like, oh, please don't scream in front of Nick.
Well, I was going to scream too, it would have been.
I wasn't sure if I could physically handle it, and that's one of the things that you know, when Nick does his movie club out in Rosemont and did the Summer of Zemeckis, I know that the audience connects with so many of the movies that he showed. For me, growing up, Back to the Future, I think I mentioned this when I geeked out in front of you when you came in with Leslie. I've only written two fan letters in my entire life, right. And one of them was to Svengoolie, and I'm not sure if you're familiar. He's a local hero,
uh-huh.
and the other was to Michael J. Fox.
Uh-huh.
That movie just—I had to see it over and over again. I was a kid, and my parents let me catch the bus and go to the Pickwick Theater and see it over and over again. I know Nick has movies on his list that are similar viewers.
Yeah,
I grew up loving movies,
yeah.
And you just have touched so much of my life.
Yeah.
That's why I was so thrilled to have you in.
You know, so many movies that you've made have been cornerstones for me. You know, I think Used Cars is the funniest movie of all time.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And I'm still astonished. And by the way, for people who get the DVD, listen to the audio commentary.
That was one of the most fun I ever did.
Oh, my God. It's the funniest.
It was, because we had Kurt Russell, who was on. He was on, and it was, I know, that was hilarious.
It was so entertaining. But let me quickly say that one of my favorite moment of the DVD commentary on Used Cars, and I have many favorite moments, is you guys reacting to the shot of Garrett Graham almost getting hit by the car.
Right.
I mean, just like, you're like, how did we get away with this?
Right. I know. Those were the days when, you know, I get goosebumps thinking of the stuff I did. How about, you know, dropping two real kids out of the back of a station wagon? I mean, they would put me in jail to do that nowadays, you know. I mean, even though their father was a stuntman,
yeah,
you know, you can't do stuff like that anymore.
But very quickly, I mean, so many movies meant a lot to me. Like Castaway, I think, is a stunt. Who Framed Roger Rabbit is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I can watch it over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I also think that Bob Hoskins deserves so much credit for that performance, because it's not only did he get the accent, did he get the style? He's acting with nobody.
Like, oh, yeah.
I mean, it's an astonishing performance.
Oh, yeah. And when I you know, when I said to him, so, you know, Bob, you know, how you doing? He goes, oh, you know, a lot of times I get less from the actors I work with, so I'm just doing perfectly fine here.
And Forrest Gump, and by the way, the Zemeckis Fest that I hosted at my my film club, we had huge crowds, and I do a Q&A afterwards, and we talk about the movies, and we showed Used Cars and Back to the Future and Forrest Gump, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and Back to the Future 3, and I'm hosting a screening of Marwin at the Rosemont Theater at the AMC Rosemont on Saturday the 22nd.
Awesome. So perfect.
Yeah, well, I'll be there. It has been an absolute honor. We're so grateful for your time.
Well, thank you.
On behalf of our listeners too, I know that you got such a busy schedule.
Appreciate it.
It's wonderful. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Well, that was awesome. That was Robert Zemeckis, one of my massive heroes. And it was so great to meet him and talk to him. And he was really kind afterwards. And we took a bunch of pictures and he signed a bunch of my stuff. I totally geeked out. And it was everything that I thought it would be to meet Robert Zemeckis. And his new movie is great. We'll talk more about it in a little bit. We got a break here. We got the news coming up.